TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Myron on Hoops with Myron Metcalf.
I can't say enough about how our team battled, especially tonight, just being undermanned in so many ways against a team that really needed it. So, I'm just really proud of our guys.
Myron Metcalf here on Myron on Hoops with the one and only Manny Hill. Back at it, talking basketball. We talked football last hour, but we're versatile like that.
Mm-hmm.
Put that on the resume. Football and basketball, for anybody that wanted to know. The Timberwolves helped us out. We already have news.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Teague likes money.
Yes, he does.
What happened, Manny?
Jeff Teague has, John Krasinski of The Athletic reported, about 45 minutes ago, that Jeff Teague will be exercising his 2019-2020 $19 million player option.
Scale 1 to 10. 10 being, 1 being not surprised at all, 10 being as surprised as I could be. Where were you at?
Negative 10.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
Like Jeff Teague was like,
and good for Jeff. I mean, get your money, man.
$19 million?
You signed a contract, and they put the player option on there two summers ago. So,
yeah.
Go ahead and get your money, man. I'm not mad at him.
How old is he? What is he? He's
30.
Right?
He's 31, or he's getting ready to turn 31. I think he turns 31 in June.
You're not getting $19 million a year on the open market.
Mm-mm.
If you're Jeff Teague. You have to take that money.
Yep.
But the thing is, like, you would hope in this scenario, now that the season is over, man, you would hope that this would bring some sense of clarity. That, okay, Jeff Teague is back. Now maybe at least at one position, we kind of have an idea of what the Timberwolves might do if they ever get some leadership once they figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still convoluted, you know, with the point guard situation. But we can't even start there. Because this team ain't got a president. Hey, Glenn Taylor, if you're listening, I don't know if you listen, but if you are, Magic Johnson's available. He's free. I mean, now listen, he's got an interesting kind of work schedule. Is not always going to be there in the office. Likes to, you know, phone in sometimes from his private islands and the golf course and country club and, you know, Dubai, wherever he is.
Maybe some tampering things once in a while.
Listen.
Maybe some violations there once in a while.
But here's my thing with Magic. If he does tamper and you find him, what are you actually finding, Magic? His his sock money for the week? Huh? Like his allowance to his child, you know, when he goes to Dubai? Don't spend all this at one place. Magic's worth $600 million. But he's available. And Glenn, I don't know. He's not going to be over the top. He's going to mingle. He's going to be very, very good at mingling. What else will he be good at? I don't exactly know, but he's Magic. How bizarre was that, by the way?
Oh,
have you ever
God.
Seen anything as bizarre as Magic Johnson saying, hey, everybody, follow me, and then becoming your uncle at the family reunion when he just decides he's going to tell you something that nobody expected and doesn't prepare anybody?
It is amazing because, you know, Dan Le Batard, a couple of years ago when Magic got hired, he had that 2-minute sort of monologue on his show talking about how, you know, Magic has not really done well with other duties that he's been. Now, he's done a great job of building a business empire with Starbucks and the connection with the Dodgers and all this stuff. As a businessman, he's been really, really good, really phenomenal. But in terms of, you know, getting a coaching opportunity with the Lakers 25 or so years ago,
a while ago,
that didn't go so well. The Magic Hour.
Yeah, I remember
it lasted
that.
Lasted about 6 weeks.
Yeah,
I was I had just finished up the eighth grade.
Yeah,
I think it was the summer of 1998. And, I remember the Magic Hour.
Yeah.
It was about an hour. It lasted about an hour.
Hey, yeah, it's Magic. The Magic Hour. I'm my guest. So I'm just going to talk to myself since I'm Magic. That's kind of how he was the biggest star on the show. Yeah, that didn't work out.
And he was, you know, he took a position with the Lakers 2 years ago that it's a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week kind of job.
Not for Magic.
But now it wasn't for him. And
8 to 9 yeah. at night on your 8 phone.
8 p.m. to 9 p.m., yeah. And then you go up.
With a 30-minute break.
And then he quits his job before telling his boss. Publicly quits his job before telling his boss.
How do you do that, brother?
I tweeted out, like, it would be like me tweeting that I was leaving Score North. Score North and not telling Phil Mackey.
Like, what? Where can you do that in America? Where you're like, this dude literally said, somebody's going to have to tell my boss.
Because I couldn't face her myself.
You ain't working the third shift at Nordstrom's? You are a president of an NBA team. You've got to tell somebody.
The most recognizable NBA team, aside, you know, west of Boston in the history of the league.
Listen, his name is Magic, and he basically said, poof, I'm disappearing. I got more of that, folks, if you want to hear some of my other dad jokes. Just came up with that one on my own. I will disagree with Lebatard in this vein, though. And this is pertinent to the Timberwolves search. Mm-hmm. Magic Johnson didn't get those jobs just because he was charismatic. He was one of the greatest basketball players who ever played the game. Mm-hmm. He also happened to be one of the most charismatic individuals this world has ever seen. This is a guy who's got style. He's got personality. Welcome to America. Where being handsome and charismatic and having a lot of personality is a great way to get promoted. That is America, people. So my problem is all the folks coming down saying, well, Magic didn't do this and Magic didn't do that. What did you expect? The dude goes by Magic at 50-something years old. He's still been Magic for most of his life. That's hard to do unless you have a magnetic personality. If you're the Minnesota Timberwolves, I'll tell you what. You don't want necessarily a Magic Johnson. Where can you find a guy like that? You want a guy who's invested. And to Magic's credit, when you're worth $600 million, you might have other things to do than to counsel Lance Stephenson about his jump shot, right? But you do want someone, if you're the Timberwolves, Manny, to have a little bit of Magic, to have a little bit of flair, because the only way you're going to, A, say, Karl Towns, this is the place you need to be for the bulk of your career, and I'm going to make sure I surround you with talent. You need a dude who can have that conversation. You need a guy who can go out, cast his net in free agency, and get guys to consider Minnesota who might not have done that otherwise. So the idea that you don't want a magnetic character in your front office is ridiculous. You do want a Magic Johnson if he's willing to invest in the position. You want someone who can automatically gain the confidence of the people in the organization now, on the car and the court and in the front office. But I also want someone who can go out, Manny, and say, come talk to me. And Magic was able to do that. Like, that to me is the modern GM. I want you to know basketball. Can you attract talent? Can you be the face of the organization? Magic had a lot of that. He just wasn't invested.
No, he wasn't invested. And I also think, though, too, Myron, that with the Lakers, I also think that there's sort of this level of arrogance from top to bottom in that organization. That
the weather
there was and just the fact that it's the Lakers. Yeah. We're the Lakers. We've got all these titles, and look at all these great players that have played for our organization for decades, and all the great successful history that we've had. Like, everybody just wants to play for the Lakers. And there was just sort of that assumption that Paul George was just going to go there because it's just, we're the Lakers, and Paul George is a California kid, and we've got the sun, and it's a big market. And
you like sand? Come play in the sand.
And then Paul George decides, no, I'm going to stay in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And then there
would even meet with him.
And then there was this thought that, well, Kawhi Leonard's a West Coast kid, and he's going to want to come here because we're the Lakers and all the success and all of that. And, you know, that remains to be seen if Kawhi is going to want it. But I think there's a decent chance Kawhi might stay in Toronto, depending on what happens with them in the playoffs. So there always seems to be, like, everything that the Lakers have done, even before Magic Johnson became the Pobo 2 years ago, that there was just always this assumption that everything that we do is going to work and it's going to be right because we're the Lakers.
Definitely there's a part of that. I mean, Shaq was on TV still talking about, you know, we've got the Laker and the beach. I mean, these guys are rich. They've all got enough money to have a place in L.A. in the offseason if that's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
They can have a place in L.A. and Dubai if they want.
Mm-hmm.
135 players in the NBA this year are making at least $10 million a year. In the year 2000, 2001, when Shaq was in his prime, there were 23.
Mm.
Folks, these guys are all rich now.
Yeah.
They don't have to dream of going to these places that are warm. They can all do it in the offseason. They can all do it in between road trips, whatever you may have. But the flip side of this to me, Manny, if you're a Timberwolves fan, is Jeannie Buss, I get what she was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
If I bring in Magic, I have a guy who's going to do this job forever. I have a guy that nobody will doubt. I have a guy that everyone in the organization will support. I have someone I can lean on to get this thing right, even if it takes 5 years. If that falls apart after 2 years, what hope does any other team have that's trying to find the right guy? If you're the Timberwolves trying to find the right guy, because I still say the modern day executive, it's not number crunching. It's, can you go out and get above average players to sign with your team in the superstar era?
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. Yes, you're building a team, but you're trying to pair Karl Towns with one or two other legit players. Can you get those meetings?
Can you create a culture?
That's the key.
Can you create a culture of winning? And I know our guy Royce, he hates
Royce's
that word.
No hate. I was with Royce at the Final Four.
He's probably going to call in 5 minutes and say, what the hell are you guys doing using that word?
You did
culture.
A great culture.
You did, yeah. But, I mean, that is... And with the Wolves, that has been something that has been lacking forever, is a culture and an environment that people can gravitate to. And that is a big part of why teams have success. I mean, Golden State, for all of the drama that they've had with Draymond and KD and all of that stuff, and maybe that stuff still hasn't been resolved, but, you know, and obviously they're the most talented team in the league, deepest team in the league, all of that stuff. All-time great players, but they have established a culture now.
Yeah.
A winning culture, a winning environment now. And other teams around the league have done that too. I mean, the Toronto Raptors have done that. Masai Ujiri, their GM, he's done a terrific job. Now, they've gotten bounced from the playoffs by LeBron a few times over the years, and they've come up short in the playoffs and all of that stuff. But, you know, there's a decent chance Kawhi Leonard may want to stay there. And the reason for that is because of the environment that they built in that city.
Yeah.
With that franchise.
San Antonio, I believe.
Another example.
I believe this year it was 17 consecutive years with an all-star, which is an NBA record.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. Almost 20 years straight of having at least one all-star talent. Culture is the right word. Can you do that if you get a traditional guy? You know, if you get a guy who fills the role, and yes, he understands talent, he can see talent, and he's going to do what executives have traditionally done. I don't know if you can, because I think the 20 guys you're chasing, they in this player friendly era expect a guy to have a certain personality. I don't think Magic recruited LeBron. LeBron said, I've got two mansions in L.A. I've got this production company. I'm going to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see how the Lakers attract anybody, get any meetings this offseason without Magic. The same with the Timberwolves. Who you put in that position is going to be so important. Yes, their background and experience will matter. But don't discount the value of personality, the value of being able to have those conversations and make this generation of players feel good about themselves, because that's what they need.
And I think it starts with highlighting your franchise player.
100%.
Highlighting Karl Anthony Towns and building, you know, let's have Karl Anthony Towns be the guy.
Yep.
He is the guy. He's your best player. He is your cornerstone. He is the guy that needs to be at the forefront of everything that you do.
Yes.
And as you elevate him and push him to be this star around the league, other players are going to get to know him more. I mean, he's got friends around the league and players that he's, you know, him and Devin Booker are good buddies because they played together at Kentucky and all of that stuff. But the more you can build up a guy's reputation and personality and just build up a positive vibe with this guy, then you are going to make it easier to attract free agents to come here. Because this is a tough place to attract free agents. Now, financially, they're in a rough spot right now.
Yeah, but
they only got a little bit of flexibility in terms of money that they can spend this summer. But over the course of the next couple of years,
definitely,
along with, you know, trying to build a team from what you have right now, you also need to really elevate and feature your top guy, your franchise cornerstone, so that when the time comes, when you do have a lot more flexibility and a lot more cap space, it's easier for you to go out and attract those top line free agents.
Yeah, and to everything you just said, Manny, don't you dare tell me it can't be done.
It can be done.
I'm from a place about 335 miles from here called Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where I'm watching the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that made me collect a Lee Mayberry bobblehead as a kid. You don't know anything about pain until you've gone to Blue Edwards bobblehead night, like I had to. And here they are with maybe the best arena in all of the NBA, with perhaps, Manny, the best player in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And
probably the MVP of the league.
He better be. Don't give me that James Harden nonsense. Give me a two-way guy. Mm-hmm. And that's what Giannis is. And perhaps the leader of the best team outside Golden State. Don't
best
tell
team
me.
East of Oakland, basically.
Yeah. Don't tell me it can't be done, because I watched that team bring in the right coach who developed the right culture, created the right scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And now, if you're the Milwaukee Bucks this summer, there's going to be dudes who want to come there. Now, I don't know what you do, cap space, all those things, but there are going to be guys who never would have thought twice about Milwaukee 2 years ago who are going to be flying into Mitchell International Airport saying, will you guys at least talk to me? That's what the Minnesota Timberwolves have the potential to create around Karl Towns if you get the right guys. Here's the flip side, Manny. If you don't get the right guy, if you get Magic Johnson and he's not ready to invest and he decides to quit on you 2 years from now and it doesn't work, you set this team back for years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
2019 has a handful of stars that can change teams. 2020 is terrible for both the NBA draft and free agency. Gordon Hayward, Draymond Green, Kyle Lowry are your biggest free agents in 2020. Maybe I'm missing somebody, but that's the list I've seen. Those are your three biggest free agents. And all those guys could end up staying where they are. 2019 draft is okay. 2019 class, free agency class is good. 2020, 2020 draft, terrible. So you might be getting yourself into 2021.
Mm-hmm.
That being your best next chance to develop talent, to add talent. Guess what happens in 2021? Karl Anthony Towns might start getting anxious. Karl
mm-hmm.
Anthony Towns might see his boy Giannis with a championship, or at least making a run to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
All of his other young friends around the league are getting better, attracting more talent. You think Karl Towns is going to be satisfied with that? You need a dude who comes in, to your point, Manny, and sells Karl Towns on the vision. Look, man,
yep.
You're the man, pots and pans. I got you. We're going to build this thing around you, and we're going to build a contender. If you can convince him of that, that's your first problem, your first challenge. Convince everybody else from there. Make sure the guys in that office believe in you. Number one, we're always talking about how you're perceived outside of your franchise. No, make sure the guys in the office believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that's solidified, go make some calls on the free agent market and let's see what happens. That's what I would like to see. We'll see if it happens. If not, Glenn Taylor, Magic Johnson is I just got a text message. Magic Johnson is unavailable for the next 5 years due to various business ventures. It sounds like he may actually not be available.
Tweeting at some of the stars in the NBA, congratulating them. Gotta congratulate Russ on that 2020 game.
He basically quit because he wanted to tweet, is what it sounds like. Well, when you're worth $600 million, you can do whatever you want. I'd love for people to weigh in. 651-646-8255. How important is this offseason for the Minnesota Timberwolves? We'll be back on Myron on Hoops after this.
Go north, young man. Or woman. If you want to go together, we'll pay for it.
Score North. ScoreNorth.com.
Myron Metcalf. What music is this, man? This is like that shut down the club Friday, 1 o'clock. I got to go home because I don't want to deal with the kids.
One last call. This last call, basically.
I can't go to the club because when I hear this song, I got to go. This is not, I'll throw out my back trying to dance the songs this fast, man. We have a distinguished guest here on Myron on Hoops. Head coach Larry McKenzie, head coach of North High School, another state championship. All they do is win. But he just received a great honor from the National Association of Basketball Coaches, Guardians of the Game Pillar Award for Education. Coach McKenzie, how you doing?
I'm wonderful, Myron. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I heard about the honor. Number one, I wasn't surprised at all, considering everything you've done. But I was happy to see that you got that recognition. I'm always curious, Coach, for someone like you who's so humble and, you know, you've won so many things, what was it like to get an honor like this and to be recognized nationally by some of your peers?
You know what? I mean, so like you say, I mean, I really can't put it in words. I was just telling someone earlier today, you know, this award is typically not something that's given to high school coaches. So, you know, to be recognized at that level on that stage, I mean, I can't tell you, you know, because, again, I mean, you know, none of what you do is meant, you know, to you're not trying to get recognition or awards. It's really about the kids. And so to see that somebody's watching from afar, recognize the contribution that you make, I mean, it was just truly a great honor.
You put out a lot of photos on Facebook that I'm sure made a lot of folks jealous. Tubby Smith, I saw you with Coach John Thompson. What was it like just being around some of those guys and having conversations with them?
Oh, I mean, it was super. You know, one of the things is, and I think I even heard you on one of your previous shows talk about it. You know, a lot of times, I mean, coaching is coaching. I mean, there's very little difference except for probably the pay, you know, as you go from high school to college to professional basketball. And so, again, you know, having known Tubby for a while because my son played for him, but just to be, you know, I mean, to have guys like Frank Martin and Matt Painter and Tubby Smith, and I'm probably one of the greatest things, I mean, at that award ceremony was John Thompson III, who was also a recipient. But after he watched the video that they put together for me, you know, afterwards he came up to me with his wife and he said, I told my wife as soon as I saw your video, like, I want to play for that coach. And, you know, so for someone like that to, you know what I'm saying, to say that and so have an opportunity. And then, you know, I mean, I'm sitting there, it's him and his dad, and for him to, you know, ask to get a picture with me and him and his dad, I mean, man, I mean, that's like, you know, cloud nine kind of stuff.
For you, I'm always curious. You've obviously been an accomplished coach at the high school level. It's something you really love to do. Have you ever been enticed by the idea of coaching in college, or do you feel like high school is the level you really enjoy?
You know what? I think people have to really understand their purpose. And for me, you know, I did coach 1 year of minor league professional basketball, and I get people calling all the time, to be honest with you, yeah, inquiring about my interest, you know, in terms of moving to the next level. But I think at this stage of my career, I enjoy the work that I do. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, I get a 13, 14-year-old young boy, and by the time they leave me, they're 18-year-old young man. And so to be given the responsibility of molding their lives and pouring into their lives, I just feel that that's been my purpose, and, you know, God has blessed me to do a good job with that.
I believe your son played with Ryan Saunders when I was covering the Gophers years ago. How surprised were you when you found out that he got the job, and what'd you think about what he did in the limited time he was the head coach with the Timberwolves?
Well, you know, Ryan was actually Lauren's roommate. So they were actually roommates. And so, you know, I mean, I thought that, you know, knowing Ryan's pedigree, obviously I thought that he would get a chance. And I hope, you know, just in terms of evaluation, that he, you know, he went into a very, very tough situation. And I think the biggest thing was, you know, I thought he found a way to use his bench a lot better than what was used by the previous coaching staff. You know, I thought he developed some great relationships with some of the key players. And so I'm hoping that, you know, he'll be given an opportunity, you know what I'm saying, to further show that he can handle it. I know it's so much about selling tickets and winning losses, and particularly, you know, when you see a lot of guys have already been let go, you know, for not making the playoffs. You know, I mean, that's kind of the point of where you judge. But I like what Ryan did this year with the Timberwolves.
Larry, what can you say about the program and the success that you've been able to build and continue on at North High School with the Hoops program, and just what has been the biggest key to the success that you've had? I mean, obviously you've had certainly a lot of talented players, but a lot of really good kids as well. What do you say has been the one biggest key to all the success that you guys have been able to accomplish?
Well, you know, I would tell anybody it's about accountability. I think we hold our kids accountable. You know, we hold our coaches, staff accountable, and we have high expectations. I mean, and so, you know, I always tell everybody, I mean, parents and kids, when they talk about they want to come play for me, what we do is not for everybody, because we do have high standards. We do hold our kids accountable. And so that's, if you're just looking to play basketball, it's probably not the best place for you. But if you're looking, you know, to come in and get somebody that's going to challenge you, going to hold you accountable in the classroom, on and off the court, then what we do is made for them.
Larry, when I saw Tom Izzo have the exchange with Aaron Henry, and people kind of went wild over that, you were the first person I thought of. To me,
is that good or bad?
Well, no, I think it's good in terms of, because I really value your perspective. But when, for people don't know, Michigan State had a freshman, Aaron Henry, and there was an exchange where Tom Izzo got upset about something he did or did not do, and he got pretty upset, face turned red, not abnormal, but he kind of stepped toward Aaron Henry, and there were some people who thought, you know, it went too far. Cassius Winston kind of separated him, although it wasn't like he was separating him from fighting the kid. He just was saying, hey, coach, you know, we got this. But you're the first person I thought of, because what came out of that was folks saying that was wrong, that crossed the line, and there's no place for that in coaching. What was your reaction?
Well, my reaction is, you know, I always tell folks, I mean, when you watch the stuff on TV, you're seeing the final production, right? And so people don't get to see all the rehearsal, you know, the practice and all of those things that go on behind the scenes. And I think I heard Izzo respond to that. One of the things was, you know, when that kid signed up to go to Michigan State and become a Spartan, one of the things that Izzo promised his parents was that, you know, I'm going to push him. I'm going to make him the best that he can be. And he didn't say how he was going to do that. And again, I mean, I think people even interpret the players stepping in between, right? Cassius Winston saying, okay, yeah, coach, we got this, you know what I'm saying, and that kind of thing. But I just think people read too much into that. And had it been more, then I also think you would have heard something from the parent.
Yeah.
You would have heard the kid thinking about quitting. But none of that, because it's about relationship. You know what I'm saying? And we tell kids all the time, I mean, like, I'm not going to say anything to you or if I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it's people got to understand it. It's the message. You know what I'm saying? They're looking at how it was delivered. But you got to really, you would have had to been there and understand the real content and the significance of what he was saying to the young man. And again, I mean, you communicate with different kids different ways. There are kids, you know, that you really, you got to go out and give them a hug and whisper in their ear, and they respond that way. There's some kids, sometimes you got to get a little emotional to really get them going. And I'm sure Izzo knows his kids.
Do you think coaches and, you know, when things like that happen, why do people make the assumption that they don't care about that kid. Like, why is that the immediate reaction that, oh, he's yelling at him because he doesn't care, he just wants to win?
I mean, again, because they don't know. Like I said, they only see the final product. I mean, and again, to me, that's an indication that he does care. Because he also had he had the option, Myron, of doing that. He had the option of just taking that kid off the floor, letting him go down to the end of the bench, not saying anything to him, and not putting him back in the game. That was. I mean, people did not think about that's an option that he had. Yeah. He could have just simply said, sub, go get him. You go sit down there, don't say nothing to him. And then people would have responded a certain way in that, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a no-win situation. But, I mean, I think it's an indication that he did care. You know what I'm saying? It's a teaching moment.
Yeah.
It's a teaching moment. And some of us teach different, you know what I'm saying? And I would, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say that emotion didn't get in the way, you know what I'm saying? But that happens at times.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, you know, I mean, you know, parents, I mean, there are times when, you know, sometimes we let emotion get in the way of how we parent.
Yeah.
And we talk to our kids. And that's not because we don't care about them. That is because we love them.
Yeah. Coach, as always, you're the best. I appreciate it. You're going to have to make some more room in that trophy case, though, at this rate. I don't know you're going to keep up. But appreciate you as always, Coach.
Appreciate you for having me on.
Yeah. Manny, that's how old I am. I covered Ryan Saunders when he played at the University of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I actually remember Flip Saunders coming in and watching practice with Tubby, and he and Tubby would be talking. And Flip was one of those hands-on guys.
Yeah.
So he would always, like, watch, and you knew it was going to only take about 10 minutes, because what he would do is he would sit in the baseline sort of student section, kind of off to the side, just kind of watching practice, not saying anything. And then within 10 minutes, he'd be up, like, near the sideline, like, talking to Tubby. Like, he had seen something, and he wanted to chime in. Like, he was just that kind of guy. And I always tell this story about Flip. But Draymond Green, one of the main guys who was promoting Draymond Green to NBA executives. Remember, at the time, Flip had just been fired, I believe, by Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main guys promoting Draymond Green to NBA GMs and execs and owners, Flip Saunders. Because he was a Tom Izzo. He was close to Tom Izzo.
Yep.
He was close to Draymond. They watched film together. And he said, this guy's going to be something. But, yeah, watching Ryan, it's amazing to watch him being the walk-on I saw to now a guy who might get this job as head coach. And overall, Manny, what grade would you give him? He didn't have a full season.
Yeah.
My goodness, he came in the middle of drama. Overall, what grade would you give Ryan?
I would give Ryan a solid B.
Okay.
Maybe a B plus. Solid B, B plus.
Right, I'm closer to B plus, I think. Why B, though, for you?
I think, I think he did a really good job considering the circumstances and stepping into a situation that was pretty volatile.
Crazy.
It was crazy. And, you know, and Ryan was there. He's been an assistant coach with this organization for a handful of years now, you know, since Flip came back, basically. And so, I mean, him being in sort of the middle of all of that and then all the injuries, you know, with Derrick Rose being in and out, Jeff Teague being in and out, didn't get a chance to have Robert Covington at all.
Yeah.
The team's best defensive player didn't play at all after New Year's Eve. And so didn't have Robert Covington at all. And we saw the struggles that they had on the defensive end.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's where I think, you know, that's where I think Ryan did a pretty good job just managing everything. And, you know, Coach McKenzie said it about just managing his bench the best way he possibly could, because Lord knows Tom Thibodeau was barely using his bench at all.
No.
And so Ryan, I think Ryan did the best he could with what he had. And, you know, we saw Karl Anthony Towns play a lot better.
Yeah.
And, you know, Andrew Wiggins, that still is kind of a, I don't know. I'm not even going to go on. I'm not even going to go on with that. You know where I'm at with Wiggins. But
yeah, you love it. You think it's the greatest contract?
Yeah, just great bargain, all that stuff. But no, I think Ryan did a pretty solid job. I think there's definitely room for growth with him. I mean, he's 32, 33 years old. He's got a lot of time to get better and grow. It's just, I think it's going to come down to where this organization is at and if they view him as the guy going forward. We know the players love him.
Yeah, they do.
You know, Cat and even
they really
guys that may not be with this team next year, they all love him. I mean, Taj Gibson's going to be a free agent. He loves Ryan Saunders from everything that I've heard. Derrick Rose may be a free agent this summer, maybe playing elsewhere. He likes Ryan Saunders a lot, too. So,
yeah.
If anything, I give him a good grade in that, you know, he related and connected with the players really, really well.
Yeah, and to me, the best-case scenario before we go to break was Ryan Saunders coming into the middle of this situation and then giving people the, you know, getting the benefit of the doubt to where you say to yourself, okay, imagine what he does with a full offseason,
mm-hmm.
a healthy roster, and being able to tinker with that a little bit. And I think he's at least earned that.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's at least earned, let's see what happens. Now, I don't think Ryan's going to get a 5 or 6 year deal,
right.
But three, I think he's earned that. And the idea of let's see what he can do when it's a better situation. No Jimmy, you know, Robert Covington's healthy. You have a better sense of who your point guard's going to be. So I think he should get that job regardless of who the new president is, because I think he's at least earned that chance to at least coach these guys for a full season.
I will be very curious to see how things look with this team. And, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. There's contracts and, you know, there's hefty contracts that are weighing on this team and affecting what they can do this summer as far as free agency is concerned.
Oh, they're stuck.
They're in a bad spot financially.
Yeah.
But I will be curious to see how things look this offseason without, now that we're past the Jimmy Butler stuff. Because the Jimmy Butler stuff, all summer long with him basically going up to Tibbs apparently 4 days after they got eliminated by the Rockets.
Yeah.
And telling Tibbs basically that he was unhappy and that he wanted out.
I mean, he didn't fly back with the team.
That was a good indication. That stuff lingered all summer long.
Yeah.
Even behind the scenes when we weren't hearing a whole lot during the summer. And Kat's contract, you know, is Kat going to sign his deal? And Kat saying, like, oh, there's things that we need to talk about before I sign this new deal, yada, yada. Then the practice happens. And then, you know, Jimmy shows
up. Still the wildest moment of the year.
And so we're not going to have any of that this summer, I don't think. I don't imagine we're going to have any.
Oh,
there's
no Jimmy Butler.
So it'll be interesting to see if not having that huge dark cloud this offseason is going to help them going forward too.
It's a Jimmy Butlerless. Jimmy Butlerless? Is that all you said?
Mm-hmm.
A Jimmy Butlerless summer sounds funny when you say that. But I think that is going to be the benefit. I'm curious to see what Ryan Saunders does. But you need a president. You need a leader.
Yep.
Because you need to know who's going to have the power to approach free agents.
And honestly.
And who's drafting.
And honestly, like, I'm of the belief, and I like Ryan, and I know just 3 minutes ago I gave him a really good grade for how he
handled
the
situation.
You gave him a B+. But I do believe that whoever the president of basketball operations is going to be needs to be the person that makes the determination of if Ryan is going to be the
sure,
guy.
I'm all for that. I mean,
I think that person needs to be able to be empowered to make that decision. And that person may step in and look at Ryan and say, okay, yeah, I like what we have here with him, with the head coach. I'm going to give him the job.
That's why he's got to be the right guy.
Yeah.
The rumblings around the Lakers are that Magic had plans to fire Luke Walton and or Rob Pelinka and might have been sort of blocked from doing that. Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm with you 100%. You bring in a president, he gets the power to decide if Ryan Saunders can stay. I don't think it should be a complicated decision. He's got bigger things to worry about. If you give Ryan Saunders more talent, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
You've got to focus on the draft, free agency, all the pieces that you have that you may lose or might come back. That's the new president's job. He can make it easier on himself or herself if he says, okay, Ryan, you're getting this job, but we're giving you a 3-year deal. Something where you go, if it's a disaster, then everybody goes home and nobody is, you know, feels like they made a huge mistake, which with Tibbs, the money was so long, it puts you in a really bad spot. Ryan won't get that, I don't believe, but I think a new president can make it easier and he can stabilize this group by going, he's our coach. From there, let's figure it out. We'll be back on Myron on Hoops after this.
If it runs, guns, balls, hoops, drives, putts, bunts, dunks, punts, lobs, saves, tees it up, throws up the rock, or bangs the boards, you'll hear it here. ScoreNorth.com.
Kobe White, another three on the way, and another three rattles home.
Come on.
Kobe White, step back, tough three. Oh, come on, Kobe. Come on. Kobe White, got to cook it early.
Kobe White, a little pity pat. Recognize, sees the three-point line, steps to his right, bang.
Myron Metcalf here on Score North, Myron on Hoops. A lot of mock drafts, Manny, are showing that the T-Wolves could end up picking a point guard, Kobe White, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
For those that don't know who he is, he's a freshman with maybe the best hair.
I was just going to say.
I mean, I don't know who to compare him to.
If nothing else, if you just watch, if you watch North Carolina play, Kobe White is the kid with the hair.
Yeah,
the and, big hair,
and it ain't like juices and berries afro. It's like just let it ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I woke up like this, as Beyonce said. and he's really good. I mean, in North Carolina, he was their spark.
Mm-hmm.
Averaged about 16 a game. Made about 80% of his free throws, 4 assists per game.
Quick, good handle.
Very quick, big.
Not a great shooter, but
no.
But is a capable three-point shooter.
But surprisingly, in ACC play, made about 39% of his three-pointers.
Mm-hmm.
Is he really 6'5"? I don't know what you do with the hair and how you measure that, but I hope we don't find out he's 6'1", because the hair is 4 inches tall or whatever.
Right.
I like him as a pick for the T-Wolves, which... They got to figure out point guard, maybe more than anything. I like it. Young guy that you can develop,
mm-hmm.
has some of the size and the speed. But, man, I also think, like, that's just such a mystery for this team. Like, do you bring in a GM, a president, who sees Tyus Jones as someone who maybe with more run can be a reliable starter in this league? I don't know. But I tell you what, if you don't make that decision on Tyus, he's gone. Because mm-hmm. somebody else is going to see that league-leading assist-to-turnover ratio, and they're going to go, oh, in our system, with better shooters, oh, this dude's going to be gold. They'll pay him. But I think Jeff Teague, $19 million, you're stuck with him, unless you move him.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your point guard? Derrick Rose. By the way, did you see the Derrick Rose clip from the documentary about?
I've heard about
it's
it.
Interesting.
I've not seen it yet, though.
He was filming a documentary when he found out he got traded to the Knicks. I mean, it was a pretty, like, heartfelt moment
mm-hmm.
For a Chicago kid. So if you get a chance, check it out. But is he coming back? What's Tyus' situation? I think this is a team that really has to, if you talk about the terms of, like, success or failure for the Timberwolves next year, if you tell me 25 games in, they still don't know where their point guard is or what they're doing there, it would trend towards failure, in my opinion. Like, that's how you're setting yourself up to fail. If you tell me that early on in the season they've got it figured out, that's a great thing. It may be good things happen depending on what moves are made this offseason. But what would you do at point guard, Manny?
I would try to find my point guard of the future in this draft.
Yeah, which could be Kobe White.
Could be Kobe White. Could be Darius Garland from Vanderbilt.
The knee injury bothers me.
Yeah, that's the only thing. That's the
that
only
people
thing
are so
me,
high
yeah.
on a guy that we have not seen him play.
Right.
In
but
eight
the
months.
Idea of him is that he's decent athlete. He can shoot the three a little bit. Good, quick first step. Can handle the ball a little bit. But the problem with him is that we just haven't seen enough because he got hurt. Was it early January? I think he got hurt.
Might have been before that.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that that is what this team is really missing right now is a dynamic point guard. And I don't know if there is, I mean, Ja Morant could be that guy, but with Ja Morant, you're hoping that you move up in the draft and end up with the second pick. You know, if
Ja Morant's going to be there.
Because he's not going to be there at 10. If everything plays out the way it's set up, the Wolves would pick 10th. You know, Ja Morant ain't going to be there, but Kobe White might be there. Darius Garland might be there. But that to me is like, if I like one of those two guys and they're there, that's the route I would go.
Why don't people trust Tyus? I mean, why is...
I like Tyus a lot. And I think Tyus is really underrated in terms of just how reliable a player that he is.
Yeah.
I think he's underrated defensively. I think he's got good hands and that he can, you know, he's a good steal man. He gets his steals and he can get his hands in the passing lanes and things like that. He's really crafty on the defensive end. And he's very smart on the offensive end. He does not turn the ball over. I think he set a record for assist to turnover, like an NBA record for assist to turnover ratio this year, which is really good. I just wonder with Tyus, I just wonder if he is dynamic enough with the way this roster is set up right now.
Yeah. Can they afford to not have...
I don't know if he is dynamic enough to move the needle for them going forward. But if you can get him back on a good price and find your starting point guard of the future and Tyus is your backup, who plays has a significant role and plays, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
I think Tyus is a really, really good backup point guard on a contending team.
Yeah, that's why I think I don't see Tyus taking a hometown discount. And I think the market for a reliable backup point guard, guy who can start 20 games if you get in a bind, is big. And I just think he'll make enough elsewhere to go, I gotta take this money.
Phoenix really likes him.
Yeah, you gotta.
Doogie has said that several times.
You gotta take that money.
Really like him, and if the Suns don't end up with Ja Morant, they might say, "Hey,
you got
some money at Tyus and let Tyus run the show."
Well, once you get a president, you can figure all that out. Once again, Glenn Taylor, Magic Johnson is kind of available.
Maybe
kind of when he we wants don't to know be. What golf course he's on right now.
When he doesn't want to tweet at other players around the league.
Real quick, Manny, let's run through the playoffs that start this weekend.
Okay.
Tell me who wins, number of games. Milwaukee Bucks, Detroit Pistons.
I'll take the Bucks in five. I think the Pistons will get a game.
I'm taking the Bucks sweep.
Okay.
Raptors Magic.
Raptors sweep.
Raptors in five for me. 76ers Nets. Embiid may not play.
Sixers in six.
I'm going Nets in seven. Upset there.
Ooh.
Celtics Pacers.
Celtics in six.
Celtics in seven to me. They're feisty in Indiana, even without Victor Oladipo. Golden State Warriors, Clippers.
Warriors in a sweep, but I think the Clippers will make it interesting.
I think Clippers get a game. Okay. I think Warriors in five.
Okay.
Denver Nuggets, San Antonio Spurs.
Nuggets in seven.
Spurs in seven. I'm calling an upset there.
Woo.
Trailblazers, Oklahoma City Thunder.
Thunder in seven.
I'm going to go Thunder in six. And then Rockets, Jazz?
Rockets in five.
We'll be back next week.